He stirred up a crowd. It was an executive branch attack on the legislative branch, one of the worst days in American history.
Moves underway to punish President Trump. It's Tuesday, January 12th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, details on the U.S. Electoral College split. We hear from some of the Capitol protesters. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visits VOA. Flocking with birds. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives have formally introduced a resolution to impeach President Donald Trump for an unprecedented second time. The resolution charges the president must be immediately removed from office for encouraging his supporters to storm the U.S. Capitol in a, quote, seditious attack on democracy. The incident last Wednesday left at least five people dead. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is moving forward toward a vote on the single article of impeachment, charging Trump with incitement of insurrection. Republicans had earlier blocked immediate consideration of a bill calling on Vice President Mike Pence to remove President Trump from office by invoking the 25th Amendment. VOA's Michelle Quinn has more on the impeachment process.
We need angry patriots to fill the House, guys.
As the U.S. grapples with the aftermath of a riot by pro-Trump supporters that left five people dead, lawmakers are discussing whether to again impeach Trump, accusing him of inciting the crowd.
We will never give up.
Trump spoke at a rally prior to the attack, telling the crowd the election was stolen from them and to march to the Capitol building. On Thursday, the Deputy White House Press Secretary issued a statement saying Trump condemned the violence.
Well, you know, I absolutely believe that impeachment should be scheduled for several reasons. One, of course, our main priority is to ensure the removal of Donald Trump as President of the United States. Every minute and every hour that he is in office represents a clear and present danger, not just to the United States Congress, but frankly to the country.
There's an issue of timing. Trump is set to leave office on January 20, when President-elect Joe Biden is inaugurated. Some Republican lawmakers have written to Biden opposing impeachment, saying that pursuing that course of action just days before Trump leaves office is unnecessary, as it is inflammatory. Lawmakers are discussing other options as well.
I honestly don't think impeachment's the smart move, because I think it victimizes Donald Trump again. And I think there's a moment that we're in right now where Donald Trump, he's looking really you just can't even put that into words, right? He stirred up a crowd. It was an executive branch attack on the legislative branch, one of the worst days in American history.
There has also been talk of invoking the 25th Amendment, which details the process by which the sitting president or vice president is replaced in the event either person is not available for service. Reasons include death, dismissal from office, resignation, or incapacitation. In December 2019, lawmakers voted nearly along party lines to impeach Trump for abuse of office and obstruction of Congress. Trump was accused of abusing his power by pressuring Ukraine into announcing an investigation into Biden. He was later acquitted by the Senate. No U.S. president has ever been impeached twice. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Much more on our top story is available online. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia, as well as Facebook. And as the story develops, don't forget our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China denounces end of U.S. restrictions on contacts with Taiwan officials. Hong Kong protesters outraged by Beijing's comparison of U.S. Capitol siege to storming of legislature. U.S. charges three Sri Lankan nationals for role in 2019 Easter attacks. India aims to inoculate 300 million by July. North Korea's Kim gets new title in symbolic move at Congress. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our website. That's voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. This past week's joint session of Congress shaped up as President Donald Trump's last chance, however far-fetched, to subvert the November election results and claim victory for another term. And he counted on the continued loyalty of Vice President Mike Pence, who formerly presided over the proceeding. Steve Reddish has more.
Madam Speaker and members of Congress, pursuant to the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
Objections by congressional Republicans to the constitutionally required ceremony of counting the electoral votes, certifying that Democrat Joe Biden won the 2020 presidential election, were expected. But a riot by supporters of President Donald Trump and his unfounded claims that the election was fraudulent broke open the growing cracks in Trump's Republican wall of support.
The Republican Party, unfortunately, has become really a cult of personality. And as I said, to be a Republican means to support President Trump no matter what.
But tireless loyalty from Vice President Mike Pence ended Wednesday, telling supporters what he told Trump the day before. He has no power to subvert the election results. Trump kept up the pressure on Pence during a rally near the White House hours before the count began.
All Vice President Pence has to do is send it back to the states to recertify, and we become president, and you are the happiest people.
Before the mob breached the Capitol, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell warned his colleagues of the political peril they faced by objecting.
The Constitution gives us here in Congress a limited role. The voters, the courts, and the states have all spoken. They've all spoken. If we overrule them, it would damage our republic forever.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri was the first to sponsor an objection to the electoral vote count. After the rioters were dispersed and order restored in the Senate, Hawley remained undeterred, even as the rioting had tightened the resolve of Democrats and some Republicans to approve Biden's win.
To those who say that this is just a formality today, an antique ceremony that we've engaged in for a couple of hundred years, I can't say that I agree. The opportunity to be heard, to register objections, is very vital because this is the place where those objections are to be heard and dealt with, debated, and finally resolved.
Senator Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee for president in 2012, took the young senator and others to task for supporting Trump's unfounded claims of election fraud.
No congressional audit is ever going to convince these voters, particularly when the president will continue to say that the election was stolen. The best way we can show respect for the voters who are upset is by telling them the truth. That's the burden. That's the duty of leadership. The truth is that President-elect Biden won the election. President Trump lost. I've had that experience myself. It's no fun.
And in the waning days of his single term, Trump faces the possibility of a second impeachment vote, which may force members of his own party to make a stand one way or another. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, Indonesian Navy divers said they have found the data recorders from the Sriwijaya air jet that plunged into the Java Sea Saturday with 62 people on board. The plane crashed minutes after takeoff from Jakarta's main airport. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today. As we continue with VOA Asia, we take one more look at the Capitol siege last Wednesday, a day after the mob breached the U.S. Capitol building, sending legislators into a lockdown. Lawmakers became outraged and security increased. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti was on Capitol Hill, and that's where she spoke with some of the pro-Trump crowd who still lingered after the chaotic scene subsided.
A day later, a new fence to stop anyone else from assaulting the U.S. Capitol building. A day later, police lining the streets. A day later, quiet and calm. Trump supporter Paul LeBlanc was on the Capitol balcony, a place normally prohibited to the public. He says he remained outside as mobs forced past police and breached the Capitol halls and chambers, where legislators evacuated just minutes prior. But LeBlanc is unapologetic and continues to believe without evidence that the election was rigged.
I say what the government's doing is an attack on our freedoms. This wasn't an attack on democracy. This was people that are fed up.
I found myself on the awning over there.
Liam McGowan says he saw no one stop the pro-Trump crowd.
They just let people walk right past them.
McGowan, who went to the Capitol out of curiosity Wednesday, says Capitol police were outnumbered. D.C. police and the National Guard restored order, but only after the mob had roamed the building, vandalizing offices. Dozens were arrested.
All I know is that if the Black Lives Matter protests happened like this over the summer, then there would have been a bloodbath. And that's not what happened.
Jeff Seymour was there to support the president, but he says he left before the crowd got violent. He did not support invading the Capitol and urges Republicans and Democrats to talk. When asked what advice he would give the new president,
sit him down at a round table and say, hey, let's work this out like adults. We're all mature here. We're not little toddlers. We're not kids.
Caroline Mitchell lives within a block of the Capitol, where today life is normal. She's not worried about another attack.
I don't think they're going to have the balls to come back down here and act like they did.
The nation's capital has extended its public emergency for 2 weeks until after the inauguration of Joe Biden as president on January 20th. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Search and rescue operations continued in western Indonesia, where landslides caused by heavy rain killed at least 13 and left 27 missing. That's according to a rescue coordinator Monday. Find more at VOA 60, VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited the Voice of America just before this program and spoke to VOA employees for a short time with prepared remarks. Pompeo was then asked a few questions and shared some insights of what he's encountered as Secretary of State and how he approached his visits to other nations.
It certainly does vary by where you are and the situation that you find that government in, and frankly the traditions of that country. The Inalienable Rights Commission, led by Professor Marion Glendon and Peter Berkowitz at the State Department, it's a great report. It's 50 pages. I'd urge you to go read it. You'll agree with some of it, some you may not. But what it tried to do was to take this this human rights project from the 20th century that has just fallen away. It lost its capacity to understand the things that were contained in our founding about how human rights are formed. It had moved away even from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And what I wanted to do in that was to reground American foreign policy and how we thought about human rights. And I think the report captures it pretty well. Your point about religious freedom and the capacity to speak freely, two core rights that if a nation gets it wrong, it will be less secure. It will be less prosperous. Its people will be less whole. And so we've spent a lot of time talking about those issues around the world. We've made progress in certain places, other places we've not. But it's important that American leaders, not only the Secretary of State, but all of us, acknowledge those shortcomings when we speak with foreign leaders and get them headed in a better direction for their people. I'm proud of the work we've done in this regard. These principles matter. Their execution and implementation is complex because foreign policy always is. There are competing priorities. But America can never walk away from those central principles and understandings. And we know the difference between rights-respecting countries and those that aren't. And we have an obligation to call each of them precisely what they are.
As we enter the final week of the Trump administration, Secretary Pompeo said nations often wonder whether current policies will continue, including President Trump's stance toward China.
Leaders always want to understand that when you make a commitment to them, that it will survive. We have elections every 2 years here, federal elections. We have presidential elections every 4 years. President Trump rightly identified this when he started campaigning back in 2015 as the singular threat to the centrality of Western thought in the world, the idea that we're going to have a rules-based system that respected property rights and human dignity. China is singular in the threat it poses to those things. And I do think there's a consensus there. I've worked with Democrats on many important issues, on issues in Hong Kong and issues, as I referred to, the Uyghurs in Xinjiang and the atrocities taking place there. So I do hope that stays the same.
We'll hear more from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in just a moment on VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia. Thousands of protesters in Nepal demanded a return of the monarchy that was abolished years ago and the reinstatement of a Hindu state. Police blocked the road to the Prime Minister's office and used batons to beat protesters. You'll find more at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, we continue with remarks from U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who just concluded a brief visit to the Voice of America. Just announced was a change in policy toward the engagement of officials from Taiwan and continued efforts to promote democracy in Hong Kong. Pompeo says the policies have long been held by the Trump administration.
These weren't rushed. These were considered efforts that we made, and they're an important part of the strategy that we've laid out with respect to how to protect and preserve American freedoms vis the challenge that the Chinese Communist Party presents. Look, one of the core problems, I gave some remarks where I talked about China and said, no matter what it is they say, we must distrust and verify. The arrest of these some 50 people in Hong Kong, the Chinese Communist Party made a promise to the people of Hong Kong and they walked away from it. The Chinese Communist Party has a commitment, a set of understandings we have with respect to Taiwan. We need to hold the parties accountable to those commitments as well. The Chinese Communist Party promised President Obama they wouldn't arm the islands in the South China Sea, and they turned around and did it, and there was almost no cost imposed. We have attempted to deliver a clear understanding of the requirements that we have for the Chinese Communist Party and how it should behave that aren't, frankly, very different from what we expect of any nation with respect to how they interact with the United States. And we do that because we have a responsibility to preserve and protect security and prosperity for the American people. Our policy with respect to the Chinese Communist Party has furthered that, and this will be a long challenge. The Chinese Communist Party has a clear intent for hegemonic dominance, and we have an obligation, a responsibility to the American people and, frankly, to freedom-loving people around the world to make sure that that is not the world that our children and grandchildren live in.
Secretary of State Pompeo says moving forward, reporting on China's activities should reflect how his ambassadors around the world watch activities in their respective countries.
This challenge is, in fact, comprehensive. Our administration began by working on the economic side of this. Right? The president placed tariffs on Chinese goods. He's tried to stop intellectual property theft, denying tens of millions of jobs in the United States of America because they would steal our information, take it back to China, build it, and then dump it here in the United States. It's information. This is ongoing. Take the issue of the Wuhan virus. It has now, I understand the Chinese Communist Party is now going to permit the World Health Organization to go in and find out where this all began, but it took months and months of effort to do that. We are now more than a year on. We still don't have access to important information about how the virus began. It's important for health and safety and to make sure that something like this doesn't come out of China again. Your team can report these things, report these facts. Your point about it being a global phenomenon. I have a bureau. I have a China desk. I have a East Asia Pacific bureau. We have an Indo-Pacific strategy. But every one of my ambassadors and chiefs of mission understands that China presents a challenge in their country, wherever they may be, in Africa, in Latin America, in Southeast Asia for sure. And our team on the ground is working to protect American security from the Chinese Communist Party in the country that they have been assigned to. I hope your reporters, no matter where they find themselves, if they are in South Africa or in Morocco or wherever they are, observes the activities of the Chinese Communist Party inside of their country and how it impacts the people of those countries as well.
Remarks by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo a short time ago at VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. A nightly gathering of thousands of birds called Murmuration has captured the attention of entertainment-starved people in Northern California. Matt Dibble takes a look.
The parking lot at the Northgate Shopping Mall in San Rafael, California, has been much quieter since the pandemic began. But this evening, cars are pouring in. Not for a movie at the multiplex, which is closed, but for a rare opportunity to see a Murmuration.
It's a phenomenon I've always wanted to see.
For the past week, thousands of starlings have gathered here at dusk to fly in intricate, synchronized patterns. Judy and Bill Lauder have been seeing the birds from their house, but wanted to get a closer look.
The crowds of birds, it's unbelievable.
We honestly are not very sure what we'll see tonight. We wanted to keep it a surprise, so we didn't see a lot of videos.
Garji and Akshay make nature journals to document their experiences.
It's just given us a new way of looking at things around us, like really noticing minute details.
As the sun sets, the show begins. Starlings are social creatures, and on winter evenings, they gather together in large groups, says biologist Roger Harris.
They're probably making what we call contact calls, saying, I'm okay, are you okay, how are you doing? And just sort of getting into sync.
Wow!
That's incredible!
You'll see, you know, maybe 500 birds all appearing to turn exactly at the same time. But with the high-speed photography, what is discovered is that one bird actually turns and then has a ripple effect.
Oh, that, the bird is back at them again.
Part of the nightly drama involves evading peregrine falcons that come to feed on the starlings.
When a predator comes, the flock tightens up, it gets denser. It makes it more difficult, more confusing for the predator. But also, from a selfish point of view, if you're in the flock, you're going to try to get into the middle of the flock when there's a predator rather than being at the outside.
Wow. That falcon still isn't giving them a break.
Whoa!
The birds seem to be having fun, just like their audience on the ground.
So I've been here like four nights in a row checking this out. It's unbelievable.
I think the joy and wonderment that everybody is here for is a really good thing. We all need something like this to feel good about.
And then, like a curtain dropping on a stage, the starlings descend into a grove of eucalyptus trees for the night. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Rafael, California.
That's our program for today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. You'll find us online at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look up VOA Asia on any of those platforms. And you'll find our full-length 25-minute programs at our website, voanews.com. We thank our VOA Asia team for helping bring this program to you. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.